This episode is proudly brought to you by Buttons Brewing.
You are listening to Better Off Dad.
That's right, Mike. This is Better Off Dad, and what a big week of Better Off Dad this is. This is we're winding back the clock. We're going back old school. We've got the original three dads together for the first time in about
6 months.
It feels like about 5 years, but 6 months. Okay, yeah, it probably should be 5 years, but it's probably been 6 months. So it's been a long 6 months that we've actually caught up together. So Shannon, I'm going to go to you first, mate. How are you going?
Oh, real good, mate. But I'm just feeling really positive about seeing all three of us together. I know it was, you know, it was out there in the public that, you know, they thought there was a bit of a falling out between the three of us. James, you know, thought he was a little bit better than us, you know, or with all of his money and stuff. And, you know, but that we're just here to put that to bed right now, and it's not the case.
We are, mate. We are. And there's been a lot of rumours and a lot of innuendo about a lot of things about James. But to be honest, I mean, we sacked him, basically. I mean, the bottom line is we let him go. He's had a bit of time to go away and think about it, do a bit of roofing and a lot of time on the roofs to think about his podcasting career and what he could do better. And he's returned to the fold. Welcome I'm not back. Sure how long he's back for, but welcome back, James Dawson. How are you, James?
Yeah, no, I'm great, guys. And I actually have had a bit of time to think about this and what it really comes down to. And I've actually got another dad hack.
Straight into it.
And what it is if, when you want to get out of putting your kids to if you want to get out of putting the kids to bed, you just do a podcast. And it's the only reason I'm back. It just gives me an hour to
so, mate,
do anything.
You've had a long time out of the podcast. I'm expecting some really high quality, really high end stuff coming from you tonight. I mean, with all this time out, so Bakes and I, we've done a few podcasts off the cuff, and a few of them, we do not get a chance to prepare too much and we jump right into it. You've had 3 months of thinking about, you know, quality podcast stuff. So go.
I didn't even listen to any of the podcasts.
No, he's
actually
not.
I'll bring absolutely nothing. A few giggles. That's about it.
Mate, what happened to the job that you had for 4 days, Shannon? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, when I came over, my plan was to get off the tools and get back into white collar work and, you know, just advance my career. Jen had decided to become a mum again, which allowed me to bring home the bacon. Anyway, so I applied for a lot of sales exec jobs and picked one up, and I was that bang up for it. I was selling security systems and different things like that, and went along, did my 3 days of training. And on the first day, I was right in. I was all in. Good package, great product to sell. Day two, they started talking about smoke and mirrors and following a certain sales system, which I wasn't used to. And day three, basically they told me my job was full commission. I'd be walking the streets with a suitcase, going and knocking the doors of shops and going in and opening the suitcase and trying to sell from a suitcase. I'm like, this isn't what I signed up for. And on day four, I went out in the field and I thought I'd give it a go. And I had a Polish, really nice bloke, this Polish guy. He goes, "Hey, hello there, Shannon, follow me, I'll show you how to sell." And I don't know what sort of accent that was, but that's my Polish one.
We've walked into the hopefully shop. He didn't speak like that.
There was this Muslim gentleman with the full turban and all that on. We're in a sort of a rough end of town, and this he goes, "Have I got a deal for you, sir?"
Do an accent.
And this Muslim man said, "No, I don't want you. I don't want you." He goes, "No." And he said, "Hey, Shannon, open up the suitcase." And here I am. I've opened this suitcase up for this bloke, and he's trying to sell this bloody system out of my hands to this guy. He didn't want a bar of us, so he kicked us out. Then he goes, "That's okay. That's one down. Let's go to the next one." So we walked into another shop, same deal, and we got to the third one. I said, "Mate, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm out." And handed him the suitcase, the jacket, went to the pub, had a pint, and quit my job 3.5 days into it.
Dear. Well, see, I would have thought something like that being creepy would be right up your alley. I would have thought that,
creepy,
you know, being a weirdo with a suitcase during the middle of the day would be almost the perfect job for you. James, apart from printing money, mate, how's everything going in your world?
Things have got a lot busier with Heidi becoming a psychotherapist, enrolling herself into school, which I probably touched on last time, but yeah, things have got a bit deeper with progressing with what she's doing, so I've had to up my game at home a bit more. So
you don't sit in the car fake talking to people without going in for half an hour.
Three kids later and he's realised he's a dad.
She's looking at me. She's got the eyes. She's looking. Get in here. And I'm just like, yep, no worries. I can't wait.
Well, you gave up so many of your secrets on the podcast, you dick.
Yeah, I know. This is
what's possessed you to come back to the podcast, mate? I mean, you washed your hands with it. Was it the demand?
Yeah, for that reason alone, that this is just another outlet to have a bit of me time. So I put it to like footy training coming on the podcast. Like I used to hate going to footy training, but once you were there, you liked it. So yeah, it's a bit like that. Like coming to, I got to talk to Nathan and Shannon. I cannot be talking to them, bunch of dicks. Oh, but when I'm here, it's not that.
Can you relate it back to footy training, like turning up and not having many skills?
Yeah, I can't talk. So it's about the same, isn't it?
At least you knew you were going to get a lot of ground balls from James. So.
And Shannon, you've been busy as well, mate. You went and watched them. Went and watched a game of football. Now, tell us a little bit about that, football. Mate, because you got absolutely nothing from James and I, which was quite funny. It kept us amused for a while. But you went to a pretty big game, mate. When I say football, this was your version of football, not ours.
Yeah, I went to a game of soccer kicking. And Jen's cousin's a Man U season ticket holder, so he's took me along to Old Trafford, and we were hoping to see Ronaldo play. And anyway, we're in this pub before the game, and the team sheet came through, and the whole pub went up that Ronaldo was playing, and then got there, and he bloody scored within about 7 minutes. I'm like, far out. I've actually watched one of the greatest sportsmen of all time score a goal. And then he went on to score a second. Mate, a couple of creepy DMs just to let him know how proud of him I was and what he's been through. No, and then he's gone on and he scored a hat trick to win the game. It was off the show. I've never seen anything like it. Unbelievable.
So what sort of crowds, mate, are there? And tell us a little bit about – we've been to big AFL games here. I mean, I've never been to watch a big game like that. Tell us a little bit about it, like what the atmosphere compared to, like, AFL here.
Oh, unbelievable. And there's all these little things you've got to do. Like, so when they start singing certain songs, you've got to stand up and start clapping and then just – there's just a whole culture of different things that they do and what they do before the game and after the game and songs that they say. It's just amazing. And I was sitting there next to the cousin and he just knew every word because he's been doing it since he's a kid. He knew every word to every song and it's something else. It's a different world over here.
What kind of response did you get from James and I when you posted that video?
I can't remember the wording. It was a general roast. General roast, yeah.
We gave you absolutely nothing. You posted this video of Ronaldo scoring a hat trick, and we've said, what a boring shit game you are watching at the moment. Who would go to that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Got absolutely nothing.
Got a shot at it.
It was a bit harsh. Right? James and I were, there's a couple of sneaky side messages going, and we've been too harsh.
That's pretty rich from you, Nathan, who went and what? Who went and watched Wynyard versus Latrobe the other day with about 35 people?
Mate, that was electric. We were chanting and I was actually sitting on my own.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Mike here from Better Off Dad. Next time you want to catch up with friends for a few drinks in a prime location, head to Buttons Brewing in Ulverston. Buttons Brewing is a family-owned brewery producing small batch beers for the people of Tasmania's Northwest. Not only do they do tasty beers, but they serve them at their own bar and restaurant, along with burgers, pizzas, live music, and laughter every weekend.
So, Shannon, you've been away for a while, but you're heading back, mate, for a short visit soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, heading back for a bit of a premiership reunion from our 2012 premiership, which I'm really looking forward to just catching up with all the boys and James, obviously, who played in it. And have you heard, James, that Nathan's jumping on the wagon? Nathan's going to jump on the bandwagon, the former coach of the Wynyard Cats, as the MC for the weekend.
Yeah, look, I don't know about jumping the bandwagon. I'm kind of hoping that once I get there that I might be in that same age demographic that people go, just forget I didn't play in it. Yeah, might be- oh, I didn't realise Hunt played it. Hunt must have played it. But no, nah, look, our mutual friend, the Big G, Big Greg, asked me to come along and MC the night, which I'm really looking forward to. But you're only home for a pretty short period, mate. That's a long way for a union. Tell us how long you're home for.
I think it's 7 days on the ground. So you got a day and a half each way.
Oh, okay.
Day and a half each way traveling, but it was a deal that I struck with Jen before we moved over. That
so 4 days.
Four, yeah. Oh no, it's 7 days. I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So, 6 days, something like that. Anyway, that was a deal I struck with Jen coming over here to live. Was that I was allowed to go back for the 2012 Premiership reunion?
Yeah, right. Do you reckon it's going to be worth the next few years of Jen saying to you, what about the time you flew back to Australia?
And left her with three kids, two twins and a six-year-old.
Yeah. Is it really going to be worth it for four or five days in the
during game? School holidays.
Oh, no, is
yeah.
it really?
Yeah. It's Lucas' last day of school today and then it's 2 weeks off while I'm away.
Mate, you've been looking forward to getting back. It's been a while. Catch up with the parents and friends and family and that sort of stuff. So
I can't wait.
Jen's giving you a little bit of grief.
Oh, no, she's really good about it. To be honest, she's really good about it. But what I cannot wait for, I land on the Thursday morning, is getting my mum to pick me up and take me straight out to our old sponsor, Bruce's, for a proper coffee, because the coffee is absolute dog shit here. It's like Gordon's yeah, right. coffee from Splash, if anyone remembers that place. Oh. Just it's like shit in a cup.
Big shout out to Splash.
I want to know, Shannon, when the state that you're actually going to be in. Like, I've got a feeling you're going to wind the clock back like pretty big. Like, you're going to put yourself in an absolute.
What's the concern?
State.
I'm going to be jet lagged.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be a stayer. Normally, I go to bed early. I'm shocking. I'm just a real white ninja person who goes to bed early. But my body clock is going to be shifted forward 9 hours. So I'll always be the one. I'll be like Duran Hall, one of our mutual friends. It's just you just can't get rid of him. So, yeah, that'll be the situation. All I've got to do is, make sure I can get myself out of bed every morning.
So, mate, is Jen still doing – obviously, Jen's not in the beauty therapy at the moment, but is she still, like, doing a bit of touch-up work with tans and things like that? Now, the reason I ask is we're all a little bit pasty. It's the end of May. None of us are absolutely bronze and glowing at the moment, apart from my dad, Daryl, of course. Oh, but yeah.
He's an exception.
I've heard he's been taking melatonin.
It's an odd
– melanin.
But anyway, mate, have you had any assistance coming back? Because you posted some photos recently on social media and you are the whitest person I've ever seen. To be honest, I don't exaggerate too often, but the whitest person I've ever seen.
They took me into Lucas' school and used me as a biology example where I lifted my shirt up and you could actually watch my insides working. That's how pale
down.
I am at the moment.
You're going to be sick of people asking you, are you okay?
Yeah. They say,
I say that, and that's let alone with your skin colour.
Constantly look crook.
So, okay, so everything else is going right, mate. How's the – you just recently had the twins' birthday.
Yeah, they're two now. So, no, life's way better now. It's just easy. It's not easy, but Jesus Christ, I don't know how the hell we got through those last 2 years. And here's another one. Here's another one that annoys me.
Yeah.
People that say – when they've got you got your twins, and they say, "Oh, I've got two close together as well." I know what you're going through. It's like James trying to tell me he's got twins. Absolute rubbish, mate. If you haven't got twins, you haven't got twins.
He jumps on the twins. Like,
nah, yeah, he does. He really does. But yeah,
he does. I've sort of got twins.
Oh, no, you can shut your mouth. You're four-eyed.
Oh, it's good to have you back. We haven't had a word like that. We haven't had a word like that on pod
since I've been
in
gone.
About 6 months. Not taking over, but, we, you know, as we're going back to the old school pod style, we used to always have a topic or two. So I've sort of thrown it out there this week that we talk about what you know, kids – our older kids and different age kids, so sort of a bit of a segue on from that, disciplining the younger kids. Now, it sort of sprung to me because Luca was running around yelling at the twins to, you know, not do this or come in and we're like, no, don't yell at the twins. Come and tell mum and dad and we'll sort it out. But then Lucas started doing this with granddad. So granddad would do something wrong and Luca would come and dob on granddad to Jen and Jen would rip granddad a new arsehole and granddad would say, Luca, you're nothing but a little snitch. So it's a balancing act. You know, what's your take?
Yeah.
What's your take, James? James, you, I know you're a little delayed. What's your take, James, on the older kids disciplining the younger ones?
Oh, I honestly think it gives you an insight and you don't realise how bad you are with, like, say, your own kids. So with Mia, for example, you know, obviously she's done the wrong thing, so you'll have a go at her. You know, you might just, oh, yeah, you need to shut your mouth, but you're talking down to them and you don't even realise. And then what you say, well... Yeah, I'm telling a bad example, but Mia, the kids will mimic. Kids mimic their parents.
You need to shut your mouth.
Well, I told you. I said I'm saying an example. I can't remember the exact conversation. It definitely would have been Heidi that said it, not me. But anyway, Heidi's probably lost her shit. Mia, like you said, the boys will do something wrong, and she's saying exactly what Heidi would have been saying to Mia, and you're like, whoa, Jesus. And I look at Heidi and go, yeah, she got that off you, like. So, yeah, it's a bit of an eye-opener when, you know, your kids are telling your younger brothers to shut their mouth.
It's got to be sort of age-based, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I've got a 4 and 2-year-old at home who are dobbing on each other a bit at the moment, but they're not emotionally mature enough to be able to, like, regulate that conflict. Mm. So, of course, that's a go-to. Yep. They're gonna come to us and ask for help trying to resolve that problem. So... I get that, but yeah, there's got to be, I suppose there's got to be a time or an age limit where it does go from that to going, I guess it's part of resilience, kids learning how to deal with conflict, isn't it? So when they get to that certain age, you almost need to like step away and let them deal with that conflict themselves so they learn that resilience and learn how to manage that situation.
I remember a situation where, I remember a situation when I was about 12 where I realized I was a snitch, where Andrew Coward was driving up Little Goldie Street in his yellow Hilux, and I was with Brendan Highland, Hilo, one of my mates, and he threw a rock at his car and hit his car on the way past. And Andrew Coward was a bit older than us. Anyway, he pulled up, jumped out of his car. He said, "Who the fuck was that?" And I said, "Oh, it was him." And pointed straight at Hilo.
Absolutely shitting himself.
Got right up in his face and told him, if he ever effing does that again, he'll rip his fucking head off. Anyway, he drove off and Hilo looked at me and goes, "What the fuck is wrong with you? You just dobbed on me." And at that point,
that's snitching, man. That's 101 of snitching.
Wow.
At that point, I thought to myself, geez, that's a dog act. I could have just, I don't know. Anyway, so that was a
fear
moment.
Kicked in, mate. Fear kicked in.
Geez, I'm a dobber.
I reckon it was also a moment in the sand for Brendan to go, "I'm not going to be mates to this guy. He's a fucking snitch."
I haven't seen him since.
You know what? It's also, though, when you go back to, like you say, about like dobbing and stuff, mate, if those two girls are in the bedroom and one of them's lighting a fire, I want to know about it too. You know, I don't want them to come back in and the bedroom's burnt down, half the house on fire. Oh, I didn't want to dob on her. Like, there's got to be a bit of a line there, I think.
Granddad's really he's a proper Yorkshireman here, and they just say shit. Like, you know how Jen is. You know how, like, point to the blunt point Jen is. Well, her dad,
oh yeah,
is probably about 50% worse. Anyway, so if Luca drops a ball, like he throws a ball to Luca, he goes, "Oh, you catch like a girl, mate." And like really derogatory, really derogatory stuff. And Luca will straight up.
Real bad pop stuff.
Real bad British pop stuff. And he'll go. Anyway, so I've had to try and get Luca to just stop dobbing on his grandfather because it's, you know, it's fracturing their relationship.
Oh, you're scared you might have to do something.
In what respect?
Oh, stand up for your son.
I did stand up to Steve Once in Thailand, I think we've touched on that.
Yes.
Refreshes.
Tea table.
You were actually going to. You threatened physical violence on your father-in-law.
It was awkward.
Is that right?
It was awkward for about 6 hours. But yeah. Anyway, we moved on. We moved on, and yeah, Steve's a good man, old Steve. Don't you worry. Yeah, I remember a time when my sister opened a can of paint. When we were about 4 and 6, and Dad come out and the paint was on the ground. Dad goes, "Who did that?" And we both went, "She did, he did." And he goes, "Right, I'm going to walk around the house. When I get back from around the house, I want the right answer. Otherwise, you're both getting a smack." This is back when you could smack. Anyway, Dad's walking around the house. This is actually Dad's walking around the shed and past the shit bucket
walking.
That he used to shit into.
I smell lies.
Yeah. Now this was pre-accident. This is pre-accident. I said, Ellen, you've got to come clean. This wasn't me. It wasn't me. And it come round and got back to us, and Ellen took the blame. And Dad said, "Well, because you owned up, no one got a smack," which was an absolute bonus.
Well, you wouldn't have taken the blame because you're a snitch.
No, she was under the bus straight away.
Right, she had to do something. You weren't going to step up.
No.
Oh, the greatest snitch.
History says once you're a snitch, you're always a snitch.
We'd had a situation about a year before that where I told Ellen that there was a cup of petrol sitting there. Dad was going to put it in the mower. I told Ellen it was cordial, and she had a drink of it. She ended up in hospital with her stomach pumped. So obviously that was still forefront of her mind.
Shannon, you wanted to bring up a topic this evening about keeping your wife happy and different ways about going around that. Mate, I reckon there'll be a few blokes just turn up the dial a little bit at the moment, just turn the volume up. To what extent? Like, are you talking like keeping her happy for the day or for the night or for in life in general?
Well, I reckon we'll get James to answer this straight off the bat, but I think if you remember in the earlier pod where Alex spoke about washing the dishes as his dad hack, he said, like, I think it was his dad hack, where he said, just walk in and wash the dishes and it gets you in the good graces of your wife?
No, that was Mitch McPherson.
Was it? Oh, let's go to James. You got anything you do, James?
Well, yeah, normally my go-to is just, like you said, just helping around the house, just whether it's vacuuming. Yeah, putting the kids – my job usually is she'll clean up the kitchen, I'll put the kids in the bath, you know, put their pajamas on, get them to bed. And we sort of take in turns, and then, but I reckon that's, you know, that's sort of just not really sucking up.
So you'd be a parent.
That's just being a dad. No, that's so what I'm saying. That's just being a parent. Hang on a minute, mate.
You're a parent.
So yeah, I'm at the base.
She's lucky, Heidi.
So you set the base.
Oh, Nathan.
Yeah. She's so lucky. Was this Mother's Day?
Oh, God. You should see the days on they now.
You put the kids to bed. Oh, geez.
Oh, okay.
You put the kids to bed. So what else do you do to spoil her? How else do you spoil her, James?
To what really what I do to spoil her is I actually just listen to her. So when she talks, I actually listen. So I engage with her.
Oh, listening. You know, listening.
Yeah. When you actually really want to listen, they love that. Yeah, so you actually have a proper conversation with them because yeah, sometimes I struggle with that. Probably usually on the phone, she's trying to talk. Don't you boys ever get that? Like your wife always seems to talk to you when you're on your phone.
I am a bad listener. I am a bad listener at times. Yeah. I am a bad listener at times, and I give you that. So you're talking about specific. Obvious moments of listening.
Yeah, obvious moments. Listen, when I'm like, shit, I've really got to try and engage here. So, yeah, I really need up my game with that sort of thing.
Open your eyes up like saucers and...
I just put my phone down and she knows I'm ready to talk.
Well, you really raised the bar, James, in terms of spoiling our wives. I'm just... Sorry, I was listening. I was just writing notes. jotting a few notes.
I tell you what, mate, I'm an absolute catch.
What gets you in the good books, Shannon? What sort of things get you in the good books? Like apart from
from the normal stuff that people do.
Basically, there isn't a specific thing that I can do to. You actually took mine, James. You actually took mine. Where I was going to say the same. I was going to say the same things. Look, I think Jen and I. I think the thing Jen and I do well, because it's not easy just to be really spontaneous and say, right, we're going out for tea, because you just can't do that, is having, like, when the kids are all gone to bed, having those conversations where, right, what's our next thing, like, where are we going to go to? And then we may, like, recently we said I get back from Australia, we're heading off to Pisa in Italy for 3 nights, so it's not a spontaneous thing where you just...
Well, it is. It's a payback because you're going to Australia.
yeah, probably. But like, because you can't be that, you can't be like a single, a couple, a young couple without kids, where you just go, like, you plan a weekend away. You've got to, and if you do that, you've got to get the mother-in-law on board or the kids, people that are going to look after your kids. And keep it all secret, so you can get that time away. So generally the thing that I do with Jen to really pep Jen's spirit up is it's just forward planning, which is, you know, it sounds pretty boring, but
yeah
that's the way we do it. And then on the rare occasion I'll bring home flowers, but I'm talking very rarely.
This is a good topic. This is a really good topic. Are you a flower giver? So you are a guy that
Definitely.
Honestly, question like, are you a guy that brings home flowers?
Only when I've done the wrong thing.
Every occasion. So you got Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, Christmas. What else is there? Just generally, but then every now and then I'll bring home flowers. Or when she was in the salon, I'd get. Every now and then she was feeling a bit flat, just get flowers to the salon. Not that often, though. Let's keep that in mind.
No, that's awesome, mate. I'm not poking fun at that. That's
but,
all.
No. What do you give?
No, I do give flowers occasionally, but not very often. I'm curious to know.
I'm pretty slack with putting the kids to bed, I'm not helping out, I'll give her flowers, like, just to make up for not doing normal stuff around the house. So
when you say give flowers, is that where you wander out into the field and just grab a handful of wild daisies and just walk in?
Just,
it's like when you're a kid and you give your mum a posy of daisies.
So you just bring home flowers when you're not listening.
When I want a night off taking the kids.
No, when I say that I'm not a flower giver, like I would. We're all different. My way of probably showing my affection to Sophie, say if it's, you know, if it's an occasion or something, flowers just isn't my first go-to. And she, no. It probably annoys the hell out of her. I don't know. I should probably ask her that. But I would probably cook a dinner or something, or take her out somewhere for a drink or something like that, more so than give her flowers. You know, it just, we're all different. What I'm getting at is we're all a little bit different in how we show our affection. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. But, yeah, I've just never.
That is a strength I've noticed of yours. Fever. That's a strength of yours, I've noticed, Nathan, is actually you cook a lot, and it's something I need to do more. Like, I'm actually an okay cook, but I don't do it. One thing Jen and I used to do spontaneously when we had one kid, we used to put Luca, I'd say, righto, let's go. And she'd go, we were going. And we'd put Luca in his little bike that we'd push on. This is when we lived in the Gus of Wynyard. We'd go via the bottle shop. We'd get a
– Of course
a,
you did.
Like cheese, or we'd get like a – yeah, absolutely. You get cheese and biscuits or whatever, go via the bottle shop, bottle of sparkling, straight down to Guttridge Gardens, and we'd sit down there at Guttridge Gardens, smash a bottle of wine, and it was just time together, even though Luke was there playing on the grass. But it's honestly, you can't do it with – you just can't do that shit when you've got kids young, especially on high tide at Guttridge Gardens. They just get washed down the river.
Beautiful spot. Low tide, not so good. Anything we can come to you with?
Just trying to think.
Have you actually got notes?
I wrote a couple things down, but I sort of said most stuff. So I put a young apprentice on, but that's not really not worth talking about.
Because it's like a fatherly thing to have an apprentice go.
James, you've got a new apprentice at work. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, no.
No. Have a look at him. I think you would touch the cord.
Yeah, James. James has had 6 months to get this right. He's had 6 months to get this right.
This is to be honest, Shane, this is why we don't do these, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty
this
much.
This is why we moved away from this format in podcasts.
We just needed a reminder. It's too risky. We needed a reminder though, mate.
It's too risky.
Yeah.
It's way too risky. Yeah. Look at him. He looks so angry.
Look at him. Look at how small his head is.
Frustrated again. His head hasn't got any bigger at all, has it? I was quite surprised. Well, I thought when he came on tonight, I'm looking forward to seeing how his head's grown, but it actually hasn't.
Yeah. See what he's doing there? He's leaning right in to make it look big. It's like holding a fish out. He's getting holding a fish out in front of him.
The funniest thing, he can hear us, so he's getting really frustrated. Yeah. He's swearing. Look at him.
Yeah, he's so silly. Oh, so many C-bombs. Anyway.
Well, he's only had 6 months to get his audio right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think he's going to come back.
He has. That's disappointing. Yeah. That's disappointing. Yeah. So recently, Shannon, we had a bit of a shout-out, mate, on the Brownie podcast with Campbell Brown and Jonathan Brown. You were very excited, yep. mate. I was driving home from work and I got a message. It was good.
I straight out FaceTimed you, mate. I straight out FaceTimed
you. Actually, you did FaceTime me.
Yeah. I was driving to work and I heard it on their podcast, and he's talking about how he got pulled over and breathalyzed on air on our podcast, and the Brownies podcast boys played the audio. So Hunt, You were played across, one of the most followed podcasts in AFL circles at the moment. And, couldn't believe it. I was very excited. And, yeah, big brown dog Campbell Brown told his thousands of listeners to give us a follow. And, we didn't notice any uptake in listenership. But
I was going to say, I didn't see a massive spike from there, which I kind of thought, Jonathan Brown, that have given us a bit of a spruik on their podcast. Look, here we go. Strap yourself in. We're about to get a huge boost here. And it was nothing really substantial, which was a little disappointing. James is gone. Let's be honest, Shannon. This is why he's not on the podcast anymore, isn't it? It's exactly why.
Yeah. It really is. Couple of things. He's never available. I'll be honest, I've made myself unavailable twice, and I know it's annoyed you.
Mate, it's never going to suit
James.
James
is absolutely.
But not only that, you know the best part about it? He's looking down his phone with his little notes, and you said to him, oh, you've got some notes of your doors. You've got some notes. Like, you're ready to go. He said, oh, I've actually used them. And I thought, he's actually said 20 words. What did he have on his phone?
I reckon one of the notes is just a big ha 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 ha, because he loves a big laugh. I reckon that was one of his. I've got to get a huge laugh in it. I reckon he's saving that for
you. I just don't think he's up to podcasting. I really don't, and this is why we don't get him on here anymore. And he won't hear this because he doesn't listen to our podcast anyway, as he's stated. So this could be the last time we get him on. I think this is probably it, mate. I think we've tried everything. We've given him every chance to come back on. Be part of the podcast and give us a bit of banter. He's had 3 months to think about it, and he's given us absolutely dog shit. 6 months, sorry.
Yeah. So 6 months since he's been on the pod. But think about how long before that was it? It was probably another 4 months. So he's basically done one podcast in 10 months, and he's used up – he's done 20 words, and he used up all of his notes, apart from the big ha-ha-ha.
And he's got notes. And no internet. And to be completely honest, when I go back and play this back, he's probably going to sound like shit.
There's no doubt about it. look, mate, this is horrendous. Like, he's ruined his own return.
He's ruined the podcast.
Basically, all I've got left, I've got a couple of bits and pieces there, but it sort of needs three people to talk about. But I've got my dad's joke, but even that would have been better if I had James there.
Far away. We haven't had a dad joke for a while, so go for it.
Right, what bees produce milk?
I'm not sure. What bees do produce milk?
Boobies.
Milk. You're right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably a three-person joke.
Yeah. Well, that's it would have helped.
That's why we don't do the dad joke anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's exactly why we. So we found out a couple of things tonight.
Yeah.
Why we don't do the dad joke anymore, and why James isn't on the podcast anymore.
Yeah. Oh well, that's all right. So probably just back to the old interviewing famous people then.
I think we just go back to trying to stalk some people online and flick out some emails. And
this would be good to keep those, you know, those naysayers quiet. Yeah. That wanted the old style back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there are some people out there, they're very small, it's a very small minority, but there are some people out there that go, oh, you guys need to get back, just the three of you talking a bit of rubbish have a bit of a laugh, whatever. But I think tonight we've proved that doesn't, it's not viable anymore. No.
Oh, now here's just last thing. Right now, live as we speak in Australia, one of our mates, Clinton Hutton, is actually playing at our sponsor, Buttons Brewing. He just told me he's going on and he's going to be...
Oh, is he tonight?
He's getting up and he's on stage and he's going to be doing a massive shout-out to the Better Off Dad podcast from the stage and the, you know, the 150 people that are going to be in there from, live from Buttons Brewing tonight. But he did say... it goes both ways, and we had to give him a bit of a spruik on the podcast. So
fair
Clinton
enough,
Hutton from the band Dominion, he's playing live in Buttons Brewing at the moment.
I went to Buttons Brewing last Sunday, caught up some friends there.
Yeah.
Great spot. Class. What a spot.
Mate.
Yeah, and I went there and had a few beers and whatever. Their hazards pale are. We were having tipping a few of those in, and I thought, I probably need to pull back a little bit. So I went back to the middies on the Sea Spray Session Ale. And what an afternoon that
mate,
was.
Mate, I had a crack on them sea sprays. Oh, when was that? It was before I left because it's not exported yet. It's properly good. Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
Now, this is the other thing. My house sale went through last week. So
Yes. You've sold your house.
Yeah, sold my house. Done a ride out of it. But my block of land, I've got a block of land up at Hawley Beach.
Hello.
Up at Hawley.
How well did you do that?
What's that? Out of the house.
How well did you do?
Well, it's pretty comparatively speaking with the way the markets moved. It was all right.
No, congratulations on that, mate. So the next move is up to Hawley Beach.
Up to Hawley Beach. So just got all the money sitting there, ready to. Oh, not all the money. A few dollars there, sitting there, ready to get the build happening. So
nice, mate. Nice. I actually helped a past guest, Alex Baldock. I helped Baldy move some furniture into his house
you lifted a
couple
finger.
Of weeks ago. So he's moved. Sorry?
You lifted a finger.
Yeah, no, I did. I helped him with it. He needed a bit of heavy lifting. So I went up and gave him a bit of a hand there. But good man, Baldy. So he's moving in this week. And we'll have to get him back on the podcast soon too, mate. So
well, he'd be more reliable than James.
I think we just bring him in as the third host.
Absolutely.
I think James is done.
Yeah.
I think he's cooked.
That's it. He's out.
Stick a fork in James's podcast and career.
He's absolutely just given up. So he's logged off. I told him, log off and log back on. He's just logged off. He's grabbed his bottle of Monkey Shoulder whiskey and pissed off to the lounge room with Heidi.
He's gone. He's gone. Anyway. We love James, but we're done with him. We're done.
Anyway.
But, all right, mate.
I look forward to seeing you next week, mate, in person.
Yes, looking forward to it, mate. Looking forward to jumping on the bandwagon next weekend and having a beer with you on Friday night.
Yep.
Safe travels in the meantime.
Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on and leave a review. Please be nice.
Thank you for listening to Better Off Dad.